That message that we've just heard, Brother Joe has rightly divided the Word of God, and that teaches us that he's been studying, and I'm thankful the Lord blessed his studies and blessed us this morning with this wonderful message. He took our minds to the end, and I hope that that's where we can keep our minds as we live our daily lives. I rejoice in this message this morning. I'm thankful to the Lord for it. And ask that you pray for us what time we stand before you. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me to Mark chapter 10. I'd like to notice some things here in Mark chapter 10. Starting in verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Now this scene that we've just read about here in Mark chapter 10 teaches us a lot of things. And sometimes you learn things in the least likely places. But there are some there on this occasion, as we see in verse 13, that brought young children to him, to the Savior, that he should touch them. And if you go to Matthew 19, it says, touch them and pray over them. And I'll be honest with you, when it comes to my children, there's no other place that I'd want them to be than with their Savior and him touching them. Touching them in a place where no man on earth could touch them, deep down in their heart and in their soul, and causing them to have a desire to say and do the things that they should. And these people had this desire, but what's interesting to me is the followers of Jesus were trying to stop this. And I tell you, I don't ever want to be a stumbling block in the Lord's way. I think sometimes our heart may be in the right place, but we don't do what we should. Notice the disciples of Jesus are rebuking them that brought them. I don't know if maybe they're saying, you know, he's too busy for this child's play. I don't know if maybe that's what they're thinking. Or maybe they thought this was beneath them or beneath him. I don't know. There could be a lot of reasons why they would do this, but when it comes to the young children, I don't think we should ever put anything in the way of them being near the Savior as well as us. You know, that's why I believe that when we worship the Lord, we shouldn't dismiss the children out to a separate service. I don't think we should do that. And, you know, I've been to places where that went on. One time we were in a snowstorm, an ice storm in Ohio, and we couldn't make it to the Primitive Baptist Church we normally went to. The roads were all shut down. So we went to a church just in the neighborhood, and that's what they did. They said, all the children are dismissed to go to children's church. And, you know, I thought about that. You know, if children, all they know is children's church, even in their teenage years, then they'll never even know what worshiping the Lord is once they're grown up. And they won't even know how to worship the Lord. Or if we say that, well, the children are too noisy or this. You know, after Brother Joe's preaching, I've got a different idea of what he says here in verse 14 when he says, suffer the little children. I took that to mean don't hinder the little children. But after Brother Joe's taught us about that word suffering, maybe there is a little suffering that goes on when the little children are nearby. Maybe the disciples didn't want all the noise and the chaos. And, you know, we tell our children that children should be seen and not heard. We tell them, don't speak unless spoken to. You say, Brother James, how's that working out? It's a work in progress, but that's what we're working on. They don't come by that naturally, let me just say. They come out of the womb crying and making a lot of noise and racket. You know, my wife and I like quiet. We turn the TV volume real low, and we like everything. But that all changed when children came along. Noise has invaded our house. So maybe that's why they were trying to keep the children away. But whatever the reasons, when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Now, I'll tell you, God's called us to a work of one purpose, and that's pleasing God. Well, that should be our daily desire, is to please God, do what's pleasing in His sight. And whatever their idea or their motivation, Jesus was much displeased with this. He was much displeased. And He said, suffer the little children to come unto Me. Don't hinder the Lord's children from coming to Jesus. You know, I think about some past experiences. I know this man, and when he was a small boy, he wanted to join the church. And his mama told him, you're too young. And so she hindered him. And to this day, he is still not a member of the church. Now, I believe that a child of God can come in sincerity, whether young or old, to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, He tells us in Matthew chapter 11, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You know, children suffer things too. Children need that rest and that comfort and that assurance just as much as we do. He says, suffer the little children to come unto Me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. You want to learn about what the kingdom of God is about? You just study the little children, and you'll know what the kingdom is all about. The fact of the matter is, you and I are all children of our Heavenly Father. And all the characteristics that we see in young children, we can see in us and the Lord. You know, a lot of times our children will ask us for things, and we may not respond right away. And they'll just keep asking. They'll just keep asking. You know, we ought to pray to the Lord that way. See, when it uses a word in the Bible called importunity, that means you keep asking. That's what that word means. You just keep asking until He gives you an answer. The answer is not always yes. I'll tell you, our children, the answer is not always yes. I'm going to tell you that we were actually more disciplined with our children when we lived in Florida than we live here, because we had no grandparents around. Nowadays, if they ask for things like ice cream or chocolate milk or all the things they didn't have over there, we're not the ones that are answering them and giving them that. So you can get that answer in other places, I suppose. But when it comes to us as God's children and asking our Heavenly Father, we don't always get everything we ask for. Why? Because He's our parent and He knows what we stand in need of. You want to learn about the Lord's kingdom. That word kingdom means the dominion of a king. The Lord's dominion. The Lord's kingdom. You want to know what it's about? You just study the little children. You know, I'm amazed at how children will point out things that I just take for granted. I just walk right on by it, but they notice it. They point it out. I'll tell you, in Psalm 48, He tells us to walk about Zion. Tell the towers thereof. Go around the church. See all the little things. I'll tell you, children will notice the details that grown-ups just take for granted and walk right on by. Little children are curious and they ask questions and they want to understand things. You know, the Lord is far beyond our ability to explain. He's far beyond our ability to fully understand, but still we've got questions as God's little children. He says here in verse 15, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. I want to talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. But the point that he's driving at here is there's a humility that a child has that grown-ups don't have. I remember when I was a little boy, I'd always say, well, when I grow up, I can do this. When I grow up, I can do that. And when I got 13, I thought I'd already made it. I was already grown up. Well, it only gets worse from there. When you get in your 20s, boy, you know everything. There is to know about everything. And something changes in your 30s. I guess that's why they let you wait till you're 35 to run for president. They want you to get past that phase. Well, anyway, to receive the Lord's kingdom, if you don't come as a little child, what if you came to try to set everyone straight? What if you tried to come in your pride and come with an agenda? I'll tell you, you can't receive the Lord's kingdom that way. You've got to come in the humility of a little child to receive the Lord's kingdom. I remember one time hearing the story of a minister who had two ladies who wanted to join the church in the handshake. He had never seen them before. That was their first time to come. And he said, well, I mean, I've got some questions about them. Who are they? Where they come from? So he told them, well, just go stand over there in the amen corner. He says, they didn't know our customs, so I knew I could get away with it. Well, after the handshake, after the dismissal prayer, he goes up to them and says, so you said you want to join the church? And she said, yes, I am an apostle of the Lord, and this is my disciple. And we have come. And he's like, oh, man, I am so glad we waited. We'd have had some trouble with these two if we had just went ahead and received them right there. I'll tell you, people can't come to the Lord's kingdom and receive it if they're coming in a proud way. Well, I want to join this church for the notoriety that it will give me in the community. Or I want to do this, or I want to do that. And I'll tell you, you've got to come in the humility of a little child to receive the Lord's kingdom. And I want you to consider this scene here in verse 16. And he took them up in his arms. You know, I think about these arms. These arms who came bringing salvation. These everlasting arms that Moses talked about in Deuteronomy 3. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He takes them up in his arms. And I think about that text over in Isaiah 40, verse 11, where it says, as a shepherd, he will gather the lambs in his bosom. Consider the tenderness and the love of the Savior with the children, taking them up in his arms. Oh, what a wondrous scene this is. Can you imagine if that was your children you were watching in the arms of this Savior? Oh, what a blessed scene that is. He took them up in his arms. He put his hands upon them. These same hands that created the stars in the sky. These hands that we are engraven in. These hands that no man can pluck you out of. He puts his hands upon them. Oh, the touch of his gentle hand. The touch of the Savior on these small children. And he blessed them. Oh, this verse, it says so much about our Savior and his love and how he treats the little children. And if we're truly his disciples, we're truly his followers, then we'll have the same characteristics towards the Lord's little children as he will. Turn me to Matthew chapter 18, and I want to notice with you what he says on this occasion. Now, I don't mean to be so harsh to the disciples, because really, when it comes to all of us, we have a tendency to do the things that they do. Notice here in Matthew 18, verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You know, I think sometimes we can ask the wrong questions. I think sometimes we, when we ask a question, we're revealing what's really on our heart. They're wondering, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, that position's already taken, by the way, that Jesus is the greatest in the kingdom. No need in trying to get there. But they ask. In fact, they disputed about this between themselves. Which of them would be the greatest? Well, Jesus, in verse 2, called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Again, he directs them to a little child. He directs them to learn something from a little child. Puts them in the middle of them where they can all see him. And says in verse 3, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. He tells them, if you don't get converted. That word convert means change direction. It's like repentance. Peter said to repent and be converted. Now, what I liken that to is every now and then, I try to be good with directions, but every now and then, I go the wrong way. And that's never enjoyable. I don't like wasting time or going the wrong direction, but you got to turn around and start going the right way. Well, repentance is turning around, and conversion is continuing to go the right way. Well, he says, except ye be converted, change direction. You know, we as grown-ups have a cross to bear, and that's the natural tendency to pride. What did they just said? Who's the greatest in the kingdom? As if they're trying to be the greatest in the kingdom. They want to be the one that everyone looks to, everyone sees as them and their reputation. I mean, compare this little child that he puts in the middle of them to the Apostle Peter. I mean, the Apostle Peter was well known. The Apostle Peter, all these things that he did and said and wrote, as Brother Joe has pointed us to this morning, this little child doesn't have that recognition. This little child doesn't have that influence, that authoritative way. This little child comes in his humility. And he says, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, in John chapter 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. You can't even see it. You don't have the eyes to see it unless you're born again. And then he goes on to say, unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, you can't enter in. So it takes being born again first in order to even see the kingdom of heaven, much less enter into it. But I believe that even a born-again child of God can get so off from living in this world. You know, in Psalm 73, where Brother Joe was reading to us, that fella got off in his thinking. And I will tell you, I get off in my thinking. I get to thinking things wrong because I live in this sinful world. But as Brother Joe showed us there in Psalm 73, it all made sense when he came to the sanctuary. When he came to God's house, it all makes sense. Have you noticed how when we come to the house of God and meet in the Lord's service, our thinking gets right, our thinking gets straight. We see God high and lifted up. We see us in our place. We see what the Lord's done for us. And all these things we're not hearing in the world, we hear in this place. Because the Lord has given us the truth, all the blessed truth we have here in the house of God. This world will try to make you more prideful. It'll try to make you focus on yourself. It'll try to make you try to push everyone else down so you can be the greatest. I remember when I was a little boy, we played this game called King of the Mountain or King of the Hill. And someone would get up on top of a hill or whatever, and everyone else would try to knock them off, and they'd be King of the Hill. Well, that was fun. I enjoyed it. But one time I was staying with a preacher out in Texas, and his daughter had some goats. And they had these little ramps that would go up, and one of them would get on top, and they were playing that same game. And, you know, and I don't really like calling children kids, because a kid is a baby goat. We ought to call them lambs, right? But I will say, when we played that game, we were acting like goats. You could have called us that then. We were kids. But when you think about what the disciples are saying here, they're trying to act like the world. They're trying to act like this world teaches you to try to be the greatest, try to be the most superior, try to be that. And Jesus sets them straight. To be converted, become as little children, to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Notice he tells us, if you want to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven, you need to humble yourself as this little child. That's interesting to me because I believe the principle that we're finding here is he's teaching us to follow Jesus' example. Remember what he says in Philippians 2? He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Did this child have a reputation? He was too young yet. Although, I will say, children, whatever family they're in, they automatically get a reputation based on their family. And, you know, the nut doesn't fall too far from the tree, they say. But anyway, Jesus made himself of no reputation. And he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And then what does it say? Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Notice, he humbled himself and God exalted him. Bible tells us in James 4, Brother Joe has mentioned the studying that we've been doing. We studied in James 4 where it says God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And he tells us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and he shall lift you up. Notice, if you humble yourself, make yourself of no reputation, then the Lord is the one that bestows the honor upon you. Not yourself, not anyone else. The Lord does it. He makes sure that you're remembered even after you're gone. He makes sure that you have this position, because when you humble yourself as a little child and you choose to be the biggest servant in the house of God, and people remember your faithfulness and they remember your humility. And he says in verse 5, and whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Now notice he says, if you receive a little child. This is what the disciples did not do in Mark chapter 10. If you receive a little child and receive him in my name, Jesus says, that name that God has highly exalted above every name, that at his name every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This name, that we're supposed to take the name of Jesus with us. This name that we're supposed to, whatever we do in word or deed, we do all in the name of Jesus Christ. If you receive a child, a little child, in Jesus' name, he says, you receive me. Now, this is a principle that Jesus teaches, that there is a connection between himself and his people. In Acts chapter 9, on the road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus was met by Jesus. He says, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now, I don't find any record that Saul of Tarsus ever laid a hand against Jesus of Nazareth. But I do find a record. Saul of Tarsus made great havoc of the church. And so that tells me whatever you do to the church, you're doing to him. He takes it personally. I also find in Matthew chapter 25 that Jesus says, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. There's a connection between the Lord and his people, the Lord and his church. And notice this here in verse 5, there's a connection between the Lord and a little child. Oh, I tell you, I hate seeing in the news how little children are being mistreated. I cringe every time I hear of a child left in a car in the heat and dies. Oh, I cringe at thinking of the suffering of that poor little baby. I cringe when I hear about the ungodliness in this world that's affecting the little children. I cringe when I see all that. But, oh, what a blessing it is when God's people receive the little children and receive them as if they're receiving the Savior himself. Can you imagine having the Savior come into your home? Having the Savior come and visit with you? Having the Savior walk with you? Well, I'll tell you, when you receive a little child in Jesus' name, you can learn things and experience things just from the questions that child asks, the things that they do and say. And there's a lot of children out there just starving for attention, and they're not getting it. But what a blessing when God's disciples see this and we see what the kingdom of God is all about. It's a blessing to live in the Lord's kingdom. It's a blessing to be around humble people who come together as little children and meet together in this little band. It's a blessing for us to see the Savior manifested in their lives and in their actions. And may the Lord help us and add His blessings to these words. I thank you for your good attention this morning.